The first reading is from Isaiah 40, 1 through 11. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term and her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are grass. Their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift it up, do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep. Word of God, word of life. The second reading is from Psalm 85, verses 1 through 2 and 8 through 13. Lord, you were favorable in your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people. You pardoned all their sin. Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his faithful, to those who turn to him in their hearts. Surely his salvation is at hand for those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. Steadfast love and faithfulness will meet. Righteousness and peace will kiss each other. Faithfulness will spring up from the ground, and righteousness will look down from the sky. The Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him and will make a path for his steps. Our people, you pardoned all their sin. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. Please rise for the gospel acclamation.
Gospel according to Mark, the first chapter. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, see, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, the one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. The Gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Okay, so now we're at the beginning of Mark. Last week, in the first week of Advent, we started kind of towards the end of the gospel, but then today, in the second week, we are going back to the beginning. Only it doesn't quite feel like the beginning, does it? It doesn't have a nativity, there's no birth story, we don't have Mary getting the news from an angel, Mark seems to just sort of jump into the middle of Jesus' story. The thing about Mark is that there is an urgency to how he tells the story of Jesus. His is the shortest of the four Gospels, and it's the most fast-paced. The Gospel of Mark begins with an opening statement, which we just heard, a quick reference to the prophet Isaiah, a brief description of John the Baptizer's work, and then Jesus is baptized and begins calling disciples, and all of that happens on one page. Just bam, bam, bam. It's abrupt, and it does not make great Christmas carols. But Mark brings a message of hope that we need to hear today at this moment in history, because it's a message of change. In fact, the very way that Mark starts his gospel, that very first line, the very first verse, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That simple, almost throwaway line that we hardly even notice. This is a very important line and a very important message. It's a quote, actually. Mark is using the very language of the Roman Empire, the exact phrasing that they used to talk about Caesar Augustus, the very language that they used to lift up and deify their emperor. Mark takes it and turns it around and puts in the name of Jesus and reclaims that title, Son of God. Mark is basically using propaganda language here from the oppressive force of the time, the biggest, baddest guys out there, and he's switching it up. By putting the name of Jesus in there, Jesus becomes the ruler, the leader, the Son of God that is lifted up. So this simple little intro that Mark gives us right off the bat in verse 1, it's actually confrontational. And what it's confronting, what it's calling out and putting on notice, is the oppressive forces that existed in the world at his time. Mark's putting them on notice and calling for change. This opening line is a statement. Things are going to change. Mark is telling us all, hear this now. Things are going to change. The powers who have been beating us down, that's not our king. That's not the Son of God. Jesus is. And he brings a new way. Think about that. Politically, that is very confrontational. It's not combative or violent, but it was enough to make people very uncomfortable, because it was a challenge to the way things were, the way things had been. And it was a call for real change. And that is the good news message that Mark brings to us this Advent, at a time in the world where it feels like so much needs to change, which is why this is amazingly good news for us today, at this moment, with terrorism and war in the Middle East, with culture wars at home, politicians putting power over the well-being of the people, a time with so much division and hatred, when it can feel overwhelming at how much needs to change. Into the middle of all of that, Mark speaks this good news, this urgent message of hope, this promise and proclamation that change is coming. And how? Change is coming because Jesus is coming. Not into some Hallmark card manger scene, but right into the nitty-gritty wilderness of our lives. Mark's gospel shows us that truth, that it's into the scariest, the most untamed and dangerous places in our lives, into our wilderness places, That is where Jesus comes. Right into the midst of all of that, Jesus comes to change things. This is the good news message of Advent that Mark writes for us. Now, I'm not going to lie, this is not an easy message, because that next piece about John the Baptist, the one whose voice is crying out in the wilderness and preparing the way of the Lord, this is where the rubber hits the road. Mark pulls in the words of Isaiah, bringing up the ideas and images that Isaiah had written about of making a path, of lowering the mountains and raising up the valleys and making all the rough places even and smooth and making a pathway for this person, this Savior, this Messiah who is coming into the world, which is what John the Baptist is doing too, right? He was preparing the way. He was preaching and teaching and proclaiming and preparing this way out in the wilderness. But guess what? It did not stop with John the Baptist. We are called to prepare the way of Jesus today. We are called to be about smoothing the paths and tearing down the obstacles, lifting up the valleys, clearing and preparing and leveling a pathway, preparing the way for God who is coming into our world. So what does that look like? Well, it can look like all sorts of things. It can look like speaking out when the Bible or Christianity is misused, when people twist it to defend abuse or persecution. It can mean protecting children in our families and in our communities. It can look like pointing out racism and sexism when we see it or hear it, naming it and rejecting it in all of its forms. It can look like feeding the hungry through our food pantry. It can look like welcoming refugees or welcoming all people who've not been made welcome in the church or in our community. It can look like so many things, but all of these are ways that we help to lower hills and raise up valleys, to smooth over obstacles that might prevent others from experiencing the presence and the love of God. We are called to do that hard work out in the wilderness, to be part of God's breaking in, part of God's embodied presence in the world, in the very midst of all that's scary and difficult. And that's really hard, because we can't avoid the wilderness moments. But most of us don't want to just dive right into them, right, or seek them out. It's hard, because it means we also have to admit when we are part of the problem. We have to notice when we've put up obstacles with our own biases or our own privilege, and we have to do the hard work of smoothing out those rough places within ourselves as well. It means we have to let go of our desire to just be comfortable and just focus on what our society tells us is important, comfort and security and wealth, and instead to really look, to see how we can help to change the rough places for others, how we can smooth out and level out those places of oppression and persecution, places where obstacles prevent others from experiencing God's love and presence in their life. Like I said, this is hard work, and it's scary work, and it can be uncomfortable. No one wants to hear that message during Advent, right? We all just want to sing Silent Night. But you see, it's also such good news, because it means that change is coming. And it means that we are part of this change that's coming. That's what we're preparing for this Advent. When we sing, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, we are trusting in the promise that all the things in our world that need changing, they will be changed. As overwhelmed and hopeless as we can feel sometimes with all that's wrong in the world, Advent shines this light of hope for us, reminding us that Jesus is coming, that God is coming into our world to make these changes a reality, and we are part of that. We are part of that. So we don't need to despair, no matter how dark things get or feel, because we know Emmanuel is coming. Change is coming. The light is already shining in our darkness, and it's getting brighter. Every day it's getting brighter. Every day we light another candle, and the light grows. Thanks be to God. Amen.